The following is a presentation of Edgewood Reformed Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Everybody's favorite.
Oh, it's forgiveness.
We've talked about fruit of the spirit of love. We've talked about fruit of the spirit of joy. We've talked about fruit of the spirit of peace. And tonight we're talking about fruit of the Spirit, patience. And no, we're not talking about Virginia's niece. We said before that at least as your pastor reads this list, that Paul seems to be indicating an increasing or a growing feel in the list of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Perhaps the more spiritually mature one becomes, the more they should be exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit as a graduation in the list. And so, under that line of thought, love would be one of the first fruits of the Spirit, and moving all the way to self-control. And tonight, I think we're really going to get through the beginner phase, if you will, of the fruits of the Spirit. And when we hit patience, we're really starting to begin to talk about some pretty significant spiritual maturity. This would be first base. We've hit first base, so to speak. And now we're rounding the corner and heading to second. So, having said that, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience," where we are tonight, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Well, this idea of patience, I'm sure most of us at one point in time or another have prayed for patience. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Because the Lord will oblige us. A pastor that I respect immensely, Richard Owen Roberts, once said, "Don't ever ask God for something you ought to be doing yourself, because He'll do it and He'll make it stick." And patience is one of those. We pray for patience. But as we look at this text tonight, I would submit to us that as we mature in our spiritual walk, as we walk closer with the Lord, as we draw nearer to Him each and every day, we ought to be exercising patience on our own. And so it's something that is not only given to the child of God, but also required. And so that's kind of what I want us to look at tonight. The first thing I want us to see, spiritual fruit of patience is a reflection of God in us. That's just kind of the summary statement for our discussion tonight, that the fruit of the Spirit, spiritual fruit of the Spirit, of patience, is a reflection of God in us. We'll see in just a second that God Himself is patience. He exhibits patience, part of His character, to be patient. And if we are going to have part of God living in us, then we need to be exhibiting that same character, that same quality within our lives of patience. As a matter of fact, our first little sub-point tonight is God is our example of patience. God gives us a tangible example of what it means to be patient. We're going to look briefly at the Trinity, the three components of God, God manifests in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and see in each one of those personages patience. Of God the Father, patience as an example of patience in God the Father, we can turn to Romans 15, verse 5, and the Apostle Paul tells us this, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." That word endurance, translated as endurance in the ESV, in New American Standard, and I believe in King James, is rendered patience. May the God of patience and encouragement. You see, we see God as that person who exhibits patience. Now, I would be willing to bet that all of us, if we considered our lives, and let's just hone it down even closer to that, our Christian walk, our lives since we've become Christian, God has had many opportunities to exhibit patience on our behalf, hasn't He? Don't we stumble and fall so many times? Yes, we do. And God's patient. You see, God the Father, as part of His character, is patient. Well, Christ the Son also exhibits patience as well. In that same chapter, a few verses ahead of the one we just read, it says, starting in verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2 of Romans, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Paul is beginning to tell us in that text that those of us who may not struggle with a particular issue need to bear with the weaknesses of others. And a lot of times we think of that as being moral or ethical weaknesses. There are those that we know that have trouble with worry, with doubt, with lust, with lying, with theft. I mean, there's all kinds of moral and ethical shortcomings that we immediately think about. But may I suggest to you that Paul was also having in mind, in this text, that those who we may differ with philosophically, you know, that's not a moral or an ethical issue, it's just a disagreement on how things ought to be done. That we need to be patient with them, with one another. He goes on to say in this text, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through patience, or endurance as it's translated here, and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Can you imagine the hope that would be born out of a body of people, a group of people, who were willing to set aside their personal differences to bear with one another in times when we don't necessarily agree, but with singleness of mind, with focus, like we saw Sunday, focused on one goal, be able to work together and to accomplish what God has purposed in our lives, the joy and the hope that would come out of that if we could just set aside our personal differences. Well, Christ exhibited exactly that. We know from the Garden of Gethsemane that Christ really didn't want to go to the cross, right? And in His humanness, He shows us, Scripture shows us, that He prays to the Father, if there be any other way, please do it, but nonetheless, not my will, but yours. You see, Christ set aside His personal wants to do what the Father said before Him, that oneness, that single-mindedness of goal. And so, in Christ Himself, we see an example of patience. I'm sure that many times, walking with the disciples and the people who flocked to Him to see His miracles, Christ probably could have become impatient. Now, I suppose we could make a theological discussion about whether He actually became impatient or not. Because you might be able to make the argument that impatience is sin. That if you can't exercise patience and you choose not to exercise patience, that is a sinful behavior because you're squelching the Spirit. We might could make that argument and have that discussion. So I don't know whether Christ actually became impatient or not. But I know He had plenty of opportunity. Just with the disciples. You know, you can count several times in the Gospels where Jesus said, have you been around me so long and seen me do so many things and yet you still don't understand what I'm about, what I'm doing? See, there was an opportunity there. But even in His earthly ministry, we don't see anything that I think indicates that He was impatient. And yet, and again, in this text that we see in Romans, Paul tells us that specifically He set His own desires and His own thoughts aside with us in mind. So, and then finally, on the example of God in patience, we see God is the Holy Spirit. And we see that actually in this very text that we're reading tonight, Galatians 5:22, part D, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is patience. Now, I want us to stop for just a second and consider what this phrase means, the fruit of the Spirit. Does that just mean that we exhibit a trait that is Spirit-like? That when we exercise patience or love or joy or any of the other fruits of the Spirit in our lives, that we are just attaining this ideological concept of the Spirit? You see what I'm saying? Are we just being like the Spirit? Or does fruit of the Spirit literally mean that in those times when we are conforming or being conformed in our lives to what God would have us do, that the Spirit is actually taking control, that it is God's Spirit in us who is exhibiting love and patience and kindness and all these things that we're talking about? Attaining to a philosophical goal or being like somebody, like your kids. You expect your kids, in many ways, to be like you, right? You've trained them to be like you. They've learned from you. Your kids, or people that you teach, begin to act like you. But that doesn't mean they're filled with your Spirit, right? You see the difference? You see what I'm saying? You see, being filled with the fruit of the Spirit is the tangible evidence of the Spirit itself being a living example in each and every believer and taking control. And the believer yielding his will to the Spirit's will and allowing the Spirit to move in them in tangible ways. Does that make sense? Or is it clear as mud? But don't ask me to say it again because I'm not sure I can. That's okay. But we see the example of God, of patience in God. Not only that, but I want us to see tonight that God grants patience to those who obey. And let me say that again, because that is very important. God grants patience to those who obey. If we were to turn to Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, the Apostle Paul tells us this. Because of your hard and impenitent heart, or unrepentant heart is another way of saying that, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, and in this context, who are impatient, who are unobedient, who are rebellious, want to do their own thing and not what God says, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. You can't be much clearer than that. And that's not Rusty's commentary, that's the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2. He's saying that when we are rebellious and not obedient to God's word, that we are storing up wrath for ourselves. Well, how does that play out in real life in regards to patience? You see, when we decide, and it is a conscious decision, when we decide to be impatient, when we decide to not exercise the fruit of the Spirit and be patient, then we are being rebellious. And in those times when we are impatient in the humanness of human relationships, or the depravity of human relationships, isn't that impatience generally reciprocated? Yes. When we are impatient with others, they generally tend to be impatient with us. Right? The biblical principle of what you sow is what you reap. However, as children of God, we are not allowed the option of living within our depravity. As children of God, we are commanded by Scripture, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, part D, to not reciprocate impatience, but to live with patience. Does that make sense? You see, God grants patience to those who obey. When we are willing to obey God and not become impatient with others or with someone who has been impatient with us, I believe that God grants us a special measure of patience in that moment, but then also builds within us a character, a spirit, a person, or a personality within us that is willing and able to be patient, even in times when people are impatient with us. That makes sense? Another text that I want us to look at in this regard about God granting patience to those who obey is Colossians 1, starting at verse 10, the last part of verse 10 in Colossians 1. Says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that may you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. You see, Paul, in this particular text, is praying for the Colossian church that they would exercise strength, that they would exercise endurance, and that they would exercise patience. And did you catch that it's not just begrudging patience? Oh, I gotta be patient. God tells me I gotta be patient. God's word says I gotta be patient. Patience with joy. Isn't that interesting that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit we've already talked about? Right? Love, joy. And that as we grow in our maturity and we master the spiritual fruit of joy and we understand how to be content in good circumstances and content in bad circumstances, that's what joy is. It's a contentment that comes from the Lord regardless of what our circumstances are. When we master that, that produces peace in our lives, peace in our hearts. And when we understand that, the joy that comes from peace, the gratitude we have for the Lord for all He's done for us, then that produces in us patience. To bear with one another, to bear under very difficult circumstances. You see, God grants patience to those who obey. Everything we've talked about so far is predicated on obedience. And when we are not obedient, we are not granted patience. Let's move on. Did you know that God expects patience from all those who are His? Did you realize that? That God, as a Christian, as a child of God, someone who claims the name of Christ, who latches on to the promises of salvation and security and strength, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If we're going to latch on to that God, if we're going to hold to our God that says that we've got to hold to our God who says, I want you to be patient. See, He expects it. Why would I say that? Luke chapter 8, verses 15 through 18. Says, as for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Now we have to take these verses in a context together. We cannot separate these. Jesus is talking about, in this particular passage in Luke, he's giving an explanation to the sower, the parable of the sower, you know, where he went and spread the seeds, okay? And Matthew is where we usually see this text, but here in Luke, he gives us an explanation of the sower. But at the end of that, what he is saying is what I've taught you, what I've shown you about the word taking hold in people's hearts and the different ways that plays out is that the person who is the good soil, that the word of God penetrates his heart and he is a genuine Christian, then his life begins to exhibit all the things that Christ said his life would exhibit. He is not a closet Christian. He is not an undercover Christian. He is not a covert Christian. You can't be. You can't be. You can't be professing one thing on the inside and covering it up with something else on the outside. Jesus said it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. You're a lamp set on a lampstand. You're a city set on a hill. You don't start a candle and then put it under a pot. You put it out where you can see. And Jesus tells us at the end of this text, he says, take care how you hear. Take care how you receive and understand this teaching. And oh, by the way, I didn't mention it, but he says that they bear fruit with patience. Okay, that's how it ties in patience here. But we need to be careful how we receive that teaching, because if we don't hear and exercise proper discernment and do what God expects us to do, then what we think we have, He's going to take from us. He says if we exercise discretion and discernment and do what He's told us to do, and we become good stewards of what has been entrusted to us, then He will grant us even more. So that's the idea. If we're patient, if we exercise patience, and we allow the Spirit to move in our lives and evidence that fruit, then we grow and we produce more fruit. We produce more fruit in that spiritual list, and that we become more mature and we move to the next level. But we also bear more fruit in that we are more patient. And we're able to bear under more strenuous, more pressing circumstances. Does that make sense? God expects us to be patient. If you were both to turn over to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul says this, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces patience, endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, patience doesn't come by a walk in the park. We don't gather patience or develop the spiritual fruit of patience by not dealing with people who are sticky widgets. That's just the way it goes. Suffering produces hope. And in that progression, what he was saying, suffering produces endurance or patience, and patience endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We're going to go through the trials. And that's not an excuse. I bring that up because God doesn't consider that to be an excuse. Oh, well, he's a really tough person to get along with. No. If you're a child of God, if the Spirit is living inside of you, it doesn't matter how difficult somebody is. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, or patience. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We must undergo the trials that produce patience. Romans 8:24-25 says this, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And just another that puts it in the spiritual realm, that we're really dealing not with just psychology or sociology or 10 ways to get along with our neighbor, but we are really dealing with a heart matter. We're dealing with a spiritual matter. As Christians, again, we are expected to demonstrate patience. And finally tonight, God indwells the faithful with patience. Now that may seem kind of like an odd way to say that, but I believe it's true. That God indwells the faithful with patience. We said that God Himself is patient, that His character is patient, that the Holy Spirit tangibly moves in the life of the believer to produce not only patience, but the other spiritual fruit. But tonight we're talking about patience, that the Spirit moves to do that. And so why would it come as a surprise that the faithful, the one who believes, the one who is obedient, the one who loves the Lord, the one who's trying to do what God asks him to do, wouldn't be indwelt with patience? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way, but it seems clear to me that the Lord would indwell us with patience. Luke chapter 21, verses 14-19. It says, set it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand on how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. By your patience, you'll gain your lives. What Jesus is talking about is that for the faithful, for those who love the Lord, are called according to His purposes, are being obedient in their daily walk, they are going to be opposed. Let me put it that way. Opposed by people, not enemies, but people from their very own family. Those people are going to come against those who are striving to do the Lord's work, who are striving to be obedient to what God's called them to do. Why is that? Because obedience is not fun. And not everybody wants to do that. But God says in this text that by your patience, you will gain your lives. God, in this text, gives you not only the words to say and how to respond, but He also gives you the heart to endure, to be patient in that trial. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, say this. This is Jesus talking to the church of Ephesus. I believe it's Ephesus. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, that you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently, bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Jesus is telling this church at Ephesus, theologically, you're sound. You got your theology down. You know who the false prophets are. You know who the real deal is. You know how to be theologically Christian. But you've lost your first love. The love of Christ. And even though you may have patience in bearing up underneath what might be seen as legalism, because theology, belief without love, is legalism. Even though you're bearing up underneath that, that patience is of mankind. It's not of Christ. You see, I believe that God indwells the faithful with patience. And if that's true, then there are times when the faithful, people who may have genuinely been saved, do not live with the indwelling of God's patience. They do things out of legalism. They do things out of man-made power. So it is possible to be very much Christian, very much involved, very much conservatively solid, but yet not indwelled with God's patience. Does that make sense? And then finally tonight, I know I've given you many, but this is the last one. It comes out of Titus 2. This is Paul giving exhortations to Titus, for Titus to give exhortations to the people in the church on Crete. And Paul says this. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Specifically, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love, and steadfastness, or patience. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train young women specifically to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, which is the ultimate of the spiritual fruits, I believe, as we see as we go through the Galatian passage, to be pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be reviled. You see, God is telling or speaking through the Apostle Paul that this idea of God indwelling with faithfulness is something that those who exhibit it, who possess it, who are exercising it, must teach to those who are not. Does that make sense? And that steadfastness, that patience that we have from the Lord, that indwells us from the Lord, is exhibited in all kinds of tangible ways. And He gives us several. And one day we'll go through those and we'll teach specifically on those. But I just want to point out right now that part of this indwelling of patience means that we've got to pass it on. I'm afraid that being in many ways in our church today. And when I say our church today, I mean the church universal, but also me here in Edgewood too. And we haven't done a very good job of teaching, of carrying on what the Lord says to the next generation. And that next generation may be somebody younger. And it may not. So I mean spiritual generation, not necessarily physical generation. Are we raising up the next spiritual generation? Are we teaching the next spiritual generation? Are we exhibiting patience in our lives, being filled with that spiritual fruit from the Lord, and teaching others how to do the same? I think we've got room to improve. Me too. I'm in that boat too. But I think that ought to be our goal. Don't you? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your word that shows us that we must, that you command that we live with patience. And that's not an idea that is foreign to us. It's not something that we don't understand, Lord, because you have given us a tangible example in yourself. You have instructed us in your word. And yes, Father, I believe that you have placed people in our lives who you sent to teach us. Lord, I pray that we would learn the lessons that you set before us. As we've seen in your word, that if we know what we ought to do and we choose not to do it, then we are storing up wrath and fury for ourselves. But Lord, if we are obedient to what you have called us to do, if we're obedient to exercise the fruits of the Spirit and to live with patience, then Lord, I believe that you will fill us with even more. That you will grow us, that you will stretch us, that we will encounter stronger, harder tests, but you will give us the strength and the patience to get through it. Father, may we be good stewards of what you have blessed us with, and may we be willing to grow and bear more fruit, spiritual fruit of patience. We love you, we praise you, we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.